I also record my classes. And so I'm going to go back and say for the recording, because I didn't say it, that my website is at www.pgrosser.net, that my email is p.grosser@rcn.com, and that the notes are captured under the SmartBoard notes. Okay? And the audio is captured under audio lectures. So audio lectures are there. You can click on those and you can hear the lecture. And you can click on the smart boards and you can see the notes that I captured. I do them separately because a lot of people don't want to listen to the audio if they were in class. They want just the notes. So the audio and the notes are separate. If you miss class, you probably want to listen to the audio and look at the notes. And it takes a little getting used to figure out when to move on to the next slide. But it works. Okay? So the audio and the slides are put up. I usually put them up the same night as your class, unless I have a better offer. And then they go up the next day or something like that. Okay? So they go up within a day or so at least. And those are available. Now this class is a hybrid class. Actually, it's much more of a student option class. I will be here almost all the time, but I happen to know that there is about a week at some point that I won't be here, and that's why I made it a hybrid. It's all about me. Okay, so I made it a hybrid class, which means that I will be out a week. But the rest of the time, it is I will be here. If I'm not here, it's an online class. Okay, so it's much more like student option. And in fact, it is like student option in that you have the option of coming. Okay? I do not care whether you want to do it online or whether you want to do it in class. It's the same thing. Okay? There is an online class of this that is also running, and people from this stat class can also take it online. I'm going to take attendance today, and maybe remember to take it most days, but I usually don't take attendance. And I take attendance in the class based on email. So I need you to email me once a week. And that is the attendance that I take, is that email once a week. Okay? So you're going to email me once a week. Now, if you pass in homework that week, then that counts as emailing me. I only need an email saying I'm still alive if you don't pass in homework. If you pass in homework, that's fine. I just need to have received an email from you every week. Now, the college is getting very, very strict about attendance. And I'm supposed to report anyone that has not been actively involved in the class for 3 weeks. Okay? So that means if I haven't heard from you via email in 3 weeks, I have to report your name to the registrar's office. Okay? And there's some conflict whether it's 3 or 4 weeks, but we're going to go with 3 weeks. I have to report you to the registrar's and you will be withdrawn from the class. So that email to me is in your own best interest. If I get an email from you, then I know you're in the class. Okay, if I don't get an email from you for 3 weeks, I will nag you, but I may miss you when I nag. I will try to remember to nag everyone. But that is critically important. Okay? Questions so far?
How are you?
Fit, fair, and 21. Okay, here is the syllabus, okay? And the main thing that you should focus on is the fact that homework, programs, code, quizzes, all of that counts as 80% of your grade. 10% of your grade is based on being a responsible human being, which means getting your work in on time and all that good stuff that you're supposed to be doing for a class. And 10% is the final. Everything is done online, as in quizzes and finals. Your final is an online final. It is not a come-to-class final. It's an online final, because I have students taking the course online, and I have students taking it not online. So everything is done as far as quizzes, as far as finals, as far as homework. It's online. Okay, 80% of your grade is the work you produce. So if you come and take the final, I'm not even going to bother to correct it unless you did the homework, because it's only 10% of your grade, and you can't pass without having done the homework. Okay? I accept work late. Not happily, but I accept it. The responsibility part gets docked if I continue to get late work from you, because I want the work in on time. I don't dock the particular assignment. I give you the value of the assignment grade, but I dock the responsibility. And I don't dock it because you missed one thing or you missed two things. It's when you start getting repetitively not passing stuff in that you start losing points. Okay? Homework, I have a view on homework, and that is that I want it done right, because the goal here is to learn. So, if you pass in homework that isn't done correctly, I am going to comment on it and send it back to you and ask you to fix and resubmit. And we may go back a few times on that, and that's fine. I don't give an A+ if I send it back to you, but you can still get an A on it. And I will send it back to you and ask you to fix and resubmit. If I send it back to you without a grade, that means you don't have a grade in that. Okay, so if you don't fix and resubmit, you don't have a grade in it. Now, when it comes to at the end, I may give you a few points for things that I never received back, but you're going to lose a bunch of points. So it's important that you fix and resubmit when I send it back to you. I will try to get it back within a few days, within a week. I can be negligent too. So you may go to 2 weeks sometimes if I've got a busy life going on, just like your homework. So that's why I will take late homework. And I understand that a few late homeworks are fine. And you have to understand that a few returns are fine. And if we have a mutual agreement on that, then we'll work just fine. Okay? So, again, homework has to be passed in, and it is returned if it's not correct, because the point here is to learn. And I was a lousy student, and I remember getting homework back that had, you know, comments on it that I never even bothered to read because it was already done, so why did I care? I was moving on to the next assignment, and that's what I want you not to do, because the assignments here are all things that you're going to be building on. And so I want you to understand how databases work, how web pages work, how all these things work. And so I'm going to send them back to you. Now, 50% of you will flunk this course. Okay? I hate to tell you that, but it's true. About half of you are going to flunk this course. And the reason you're going to flunk the course is not because the work's that hard. It's because you didn't do it. Okay? So, if you're going to be among that 50%, just let me know now so I don't have to correct all the homework that you don't pass in or the occasional homework you pass in. But in all seriousness, it's getting the work done and getting it in on time that makes the difference. If you keep putting it off, number one, we've stopped covering. Let's say the first thing we're going to cover is web pages. We're going to look at HTML. If you don't do it and you come back to do it in April, you're not going to remember what we talked about in class today, so you're going to have to relearn it and then do it, which means the homework assignment is going to take that much longer. And I'm noticing a few people that are here again or who have taken me in another course who are nodding their heads and saying, I'm not going to do this again, and that's good. Okay? So anyway, I would like to build up those numbers. I would like more than 50% to pass this course. Okay? So let's try and make that happen. Questions?
Okay.
Eric is the supplementary instructor. Wave your hand or do something. Is the supplementary instructor for this course. And he's the guy that you can go to in addition to me if you have questions. He's going to be available for help during the week. We frequently do Tuesday and Thursday at 2 o'clock and then set up some other times. So if you send me an email that tells me some times that would be good for you, we'll see if they work with Eric's schedule.
Okay.
So if you have times that you would like him to be available, send me an email and I will hand them over to him and we'll see what we can do.
Does he start his availability this week or next week?
He actually is going to be here at 2 today. Okay, so he will probably not stay. Usually he stays for a couple of hours. If nobody shows up, then they'll probably say, okay, he and I are both going to be here actually at 2, and we'll both say, see you later. Yeah.
Is it in this room?
We hope so. It frequently is. Right now the schedule outside the room shows nothing here, so I'm going to send a request. They won't honor the request till classes start. So I'm going to send the request and hope that it's going to be in here. But if not, we'll let you know. Yeah.
So, never mind. I was going to ask if all the homework is already up on the thing.
Nope.
But nope. Okay.
No.
Is at least this week's homework up on the thing?
Yeah, I think so. Ask me a stupid question and I'll give you a stupid answer. I have no idea. Yes, it is. Okay. I'm supposed to know that. You were supposed to look down and check. Okay.
The thing is, as soon as I asked, I looked and said, oh, this is totally.
That's okay. I have to look too, so I can't say much. Okay. So yes, the homework is there. Homework is due the Thursday after the week it is assigned. So that means anything assigned this week is due next Thursday. Anything assigned next week is due the following Thursday. So in other words, Thursday is our last day of classes. Occasionally I might go home from the Thursday class and put something up Thursday night or Friday and say you got to deal with that because of something that happened in class. But usually I have it up by Thursday. So that gives you a week essentially to do the homework because it's due the following Thursday. Okay, so that gives you a week to do homework. And if I happen to post it on a Tuesday as I did this time, then you've got a little over a week to do the homework. Okay? Lots of times, like this time, if you go home and do the homework tonight, I wouldn't recommend it, actually. You could get started on it, but I'm not going to finish discussing it until Thursday. And so if you want to go home and do it tonight, that's fine, but you're going to have to do more research on your own in order to do it. Speaking of research, over here under site resources, I have a lot of information. There's notes and handouts, there's examples, there's programs, there's presentations that go with some things. Those tend to be older, since now that I've started doing SmartWord presentations, I've been not doing PowerPoint presentations as much. But all of that is information you can use. My suggestion is that you not sequentially try to go through that. Then you come over here and use the site resources to supplement what I'm asking you to do for the week. So we're doing HTML this week. And so if you go in under examples, there are the HTML examples. Okay, so those are the things that I would take a look at for this week. Okay. These are older HTML examples. They are different versions of HTML. You can pretty much ignore those, but if you're using something that's older, I usually leave up the older things. Okay, so the examples are there, examples of programs when we get to those. Those are the examples that we'll look at. Then we look at the examples in class, and you can use them as a resource to do the homework. And so you can go ahead and look at that. I should have also mentioned that everything I give, as in the final and everything, are open notes, open book. Okay? I'm not asking you to memorize a lot. It's open notes, open book. So you can keep track of stuff and go on. The only thing you can't have is a friend help with the final. Okay, so that is the HTML. Okay, the next thing I want to talk about is the book. The book is basically something I want you to read. I'll go over it a little, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time going over it. It's fairly clear. You can read the book. What I'm going to be doing in class is much more practical stuff that talks about what the book is talking about. So the book talks about records and talks about keeping data and all that. Well, we're going to do it and use Access. We're going to be much more, in class is going to be much more practical. And then the book is kind of the background to supplement the practical. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to read the book. I will occasionally post a quiz on the book. I do not take quizzes late. I take homework late. I do not take quizzes late. So if I put up a quiz and I say you've got 5 days to do it, if I don't get it in 5 days, then you're late. Okay, so basically you want to check. All of the assignments for a week are put in after the word assignment. So everything down in here relates to assignments. And you need to look at those assignments and make sure that you are doing them. And the quizzes will be posted under assignments as well. Okay, the stuff above is more reference information. And the stuff below are the assignments that you actually have to do. Okay. Assignment summary. I have not fixed up yet. That was last semester. But I will put out an assignment summary, and I forgot to make that go away. So I will make that go away and start out with this week. So assignment summary kind of gives you this is 1, 2, 3 assignments kind of thing. And you can look there to make sure you've caught everything. Let me think if there's anything else. Questions? None? Come on. I can't have been that clear. Come on. Come on. Questions? Thank you. Yeah.
How do you feel about the weather?
I'll take hers instead.
So for the final, for the status sheet, is this something that is just a part of the final, or is this something we are doing throughout the semester?
It would be great if you did it throughout the semester, but and made your own status sheet. Then I don't have one. This one is the last semester's.
What is a status sheet?
A status sheet is basically where you keep a list of the assignments, and you check off whether you did them and put the grade on next to them, so that you keep track of what you owe. What I do with the final is I make everybody pass in a status sheet where they tell me what they did and hopefully what grade they got in. And the reason for that is we're doing this all over the internet and we're doing it with people. So you can forget to send me something and think you sent it. I cannot receive it or misfile it. Things can happen. So at the final, I ask you to fill out a status sheet telling me where you stand on each of the assignments. And then I compare it to my records, and if we don't match, I get in touch with you. And say, you know, you said you passed in assignment 5, I'm not seeing assignment 5. Which brings us to the point, and this applies to any course you take, especially online, keep all of your assignments until you get a grade in the course. You know, don't throw them out. Keep them all. Have a grade in the course. And the course is really done for sure. Because there may be questions. Somebody may say, I didn't get it. And with the internet, you know, sometimes things don't go through. Okay? And with people, sometimes they think they sent it and they didn't. Okay. So, anyway, any other questions? Yeah.
So Brave even on post don't access BCC?
No, okay. I don't use Access BCC at all. I will send you an email back, and the grade will be in the email. Okay, and so you keep track of it yourself. You had a question a while ago, I thought.
Yeah, I was going to ask if the quizzes were timed.
No. No. They're timed as in you got 3 days to do them or 5 days to do them, but that's the only timing. Okay? Other questions? Okay, then we're going to move on and look at HTML. So, please go to examples. How many of you already know HTML? One, two, you're kidding. All right, we got a few. But not as many as I would have anticipated. Okay, so go to the first example, which is HTML5 intro.html, and click on it. And you will see a page that came up. And this is a very simple page. Okay. Now we are going to do a view source. Okay. So there is the page. So there's the page. So this web page says one thing and one thing only. This is an introduction to HTML. The code that generated that is this code right here. The code has to be written in a text editor, which means that, yeah.
How do I do that? I right-clicked and selected View Source, and I got a Word document that said this is an introduction to HTML.
Okay. Wait a minute. That's the page. Okay, this is the output. All right, what did you get? If you right-click and say View Source.
I pressed View Source, and I got this.
Okay, that's good. I guess you're an explorer, right?
I am.
Yeah, probably get out. I'm in Firefox, which is a lot more friendly. And when I'm dealing with HTML, and I should have said that, Firefox is a better home than Explorer. And Chrome also works. I just don't like Chrome because it's not as menu-oriented, I guess. But other people really like Chrome, so either way it works. Okay, so I opened this page, and now if I click on View Source, so try opening Firefox and try it in Firefox.
That worked.
That worked, okay. So Firefox is more user-friendly when you're dealing with HTML. Okay, this top line here tells the browser that I'm using HTML5, which is the current version of HTML. In fact, I'm probably not using everything that HTML5 wants. So I'm kind of lying to the browser. But there is a process called validating, which we're not going to use in this class. In the course on HTML, we do. But this is just a, you know, overview of HTML, so we're not going to worry about the validating part. So this one, I'm putting that line in there that tells the browser it's HTML5. And that's fine. It will then process this as HTML5. It doesn't meet all of the validation specifications, but we're not going to worry about that. Okay, on the next line, I'm writing HTML. If I left out the top line, it would assume an older version of HTML and would use that. And again, it doesn't much matter for this class which way you go on that. Notice that these lines are between less than and greater than tags. Okay, these are tags, and they're between the less than and greater than sign. Okay, so these are tags for the browser. HTML stands for Hypertext Markup Language. Okay, so back in the good old days, people used to, when they were writing things to be published, would make markups in the margins that told the people setting it up for the press how they wanted things doing it. That was called markup language. HTML is a markup language, and these tags are telling the browser what it wants to do. So it's telling it that it's HTML. Then it's saying we're going to be in the head. HTML has two parts, a head part and a body part. A head is telling the browser information. The body is actually putting up the code of the things I want to display. So I have a head tag, and then I have a title tag. Now notice this time I actually wrote something after it, and then I have what is called the close title, which is the same as the title tag except it has a slash in it. So that closes the title. And if you look up at the top, the title is right there. Okay, that's where it puts the title. It puts the title up there. So I said head, and then I've got a title. Now, I could have written title on one line, the word introduction on another line, close title on the third line. I just put them all on one. And in fact, I could have just kept going on all of these and put them all on one line. We break them up for people, not for the browser. The browser doesn't care. We break them up for people because it's easier for me to read if I put them one right after another than it is if I string them all out. So we break them up for people. Okay? So, the only thing I'm putting in the head right now is the title. So the next line says close head. And again, I could have written head, title, introduction, close title, close head, all on one line, and would have worked just fine. Okay? So I closed the head, and then I started the body. And inside the body, I said I wanted to put up a paragraph. And that paragraph means I put a P tag. And a P tag tells it it's a paragraph. Okay? Which means it's a unit. If I put another paragraph directly after this paragraph, then it would know that it was supposed to skip down a line and put the paragraph down below. Okay? So a paragraph is kind of like a paragraph you would see in a book, that it's new paragraph, starts on a new line, and skips down and all that good stuff. Okay? Then I close the body, and I close the HTML, and that is a web page. The only thing it produces is the title and the one thing that I put inside the body. Okay? But it is a web page. Questions? Again, this has to be written in an editor that is a text editor, and that would mean for the PC, that means Notepad or Notepad++. For an Apple, somebody tell me what the text editor is for the Mac.
TextWriter is good. I like it. It's closest to Notepad++ that I've seen.
So you can do this on an Apple as well, but you need to use their text editor. The problem is, if you do it in something like Word, Word adds things in to help you, as Microsoft always does. It has things to help you. Well, the things that go in to help you do not help the browser putting out the HTML. Okay? So you don't want to put in those things. Okay, you don't want to do it in Word or something like that. Okay, let's look at the next example. This is a list. Okay. So I started out exactly the same way, but now in the body I've decided to add a list. Okay, so I started out and I've got a paragraph here. And after one line I wrote two tags, BR, BR. The BR tag stands for break, which means break down to the next line. So I wrote the line, and then I have two BRs. So the first one broke down here, and the second one broke down to here. I broke twice. And now I am writing the next line, which is now I'm going to make an audit list, and I close the paragraph. So all that was one paragraph that I had breaks in between. I happened to write these all on one line, but I didn't have to. Okay, that didn't wrap it around. Interesting. I thought that was going to reduce it. But if I had written, now I'm going to make an audit list on one line and then written followed by an unaudited list on the next line, it would give you the same results. Okay? If I put multiple spaces in there, it will say that's very nice and will only show one of them. Okay? So if you want to write multiple spaces, you have to use a particular method to write multiple spaces. This, if I put multiple spaces there on the web page, I'll see only one space. Okay, because that's the way it works. There's one seat over there and one seat over there. Okay, so, and apparently one over there. So now I am going down after the paragraph is closed. I'm making an OL, which is an audit list. O stands for audit, L stands for list. I'm making an audit list. And so I put in the OL tag. Immediately afterward, I'm putting the things that I'm putting in the audit list. LI is a list item. So those are items in my list. So I say LI, first item in the list, and then I close LI. And then I say LI, second item in the list, and I close LI. And then LI, third item in the list, and I close LI. And then I close OL. So there's my audit list. Then I wrote a line. This is the audit list. And then I started the unaudited list, which is UL, and UL gets me the dots. OL, audit list, got me 1, 2, 3. Unaudited list got me dot, dot, dot. And when you get more sophisticated in this, which we're not going to do, we can actually set which symbol we want. And so instead of dot, 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 we can have it use check marks, or have it use squares, or have it use whatever. And instead of audit being 1, 2, 3, we could have it A, B, C, or whatever. Okay? And feel free to look up any of that stuff, but we're not going those places. So at the end of this, I've got an unaudited list, then I've got a body, and then I've got a HTML being closed. So that is my web page. Okay. Now what I would like you to do is to bring up Notepad, and you're going to write this in Notepad. So you're going to write some kind of page similar to what I've written. You're going to write it in Notepad, and then you're going to save it. Okay? Okay? And then you are going to open it in the browser. Okay? So let's say I'm going to take all of this code. And I'm going to put it in Notepad rather than write something new. Okay? So I'm now going to save this. I'm going to save as, and I'm going to call it first.html. So I've got first.html. And I am going to save it to my E drive. I should also mention that it makes sense for you to bring a flash drive to class for this class and for maybe all your classes, but it makes sense to have a flash drive so that you can save these kinds of things. You obviously can also save them in your area that you've been given, but I think a flash drive is a convenient thing to have. So I'm going to save this on my E drive as first.html. Okay, so I'm now doing a save. So I'm saving it, and it's now come up with the name first, so it's all been saved as first.html. Okay. So now I want to open this, okay, and it's on the E drive, and so I can go into the E drive and open it. Okay, so Control O. What did I just do? So I go to Control O. I go to my E drive and I find it and click on it, and there it is. Okay, so again, what I did is I went to Control O. And Control O brings up my files. And I clicked on the file, and it opened it. And you can see it was on the E drive, first.html. Okay, so Control O tells me what I want to open, and I open it. If I want to make changes to it, I can go back to my Notepad. And I can put in, for example, a paragraph down here that says, this is the end. And then I close paragraph. And I do a file save. And then I do a refresh. And when I do the refresh, it has now added in, this is the end. So when I'm working with developing web pages, I'm going to keep Notepad open or Notepad++ open, and I'm going to keep the browser open so I can go back and forth. Make changes here and bring them up there. Make changes here, bring them up there, so that I constantly can check what I just did. Okay, so what I want you to do is just experiment with setting up and writing a web page. Do something similar to what I did. Put an audit list in. Put in a paragraph or two. And just save it and then open it in the browser. And Eric and I are here to help, so if you have questions, please call us. If you have questions, just put up your hand, and either Eric or I will come around and help you. Okay. Go to www.keepyourself.com. So there's my website. If you click on CIS 120, okay. So first of all, these are the notes that I captured there, and then the audio. So tonight, if you want to listen to the lecture from the beginning, the audio will be up there. You can listen to it. Now, if you go to examples where I can copy down here, and those are what I've been going over now. And I'm going to go over the first two. Yes. That's the one. Now, if you do a new source, right there.
Plus.
Yeah, I signed it.
I know, we know, no spreadsheet, no spreadsheet.
You open up, No Pi Plus Plus is, it makes editing a lot easier. Because you can, a lot of times,
is it making sense? Did you save it with a .html extension?
Yes.
And it should be opening all right. Do a save as. And I usually change the type of all files.
Okay.
Yeah, that usually work all right because it does know it's an HTML document.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and just save again. Okay, so now we're coming over to the browser. And we want to So come over to here and do a control O. And then go find the one you just wrote. Okay. Do a view source. Do a right click and do a view source. Right click and view source. Aren't you clever? How did you manage that?
I don't either.
There's no complete title there, but that shouldn't have thrown it. Anybody else have questions? Because Eric is
little.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't do it from there. You have to come over to here. Did you save it over here? Hey, Eric.
Yes.
What am I not seeing? I'll try opening it here.
That's what I have.
Well, it works. I know that sounds.
Oh, wait, I know it is.
This is hers.
Is there a class after this?
Yes. There's a class after this one. Eric will be here too if anybody's having problems. Yes. Yeah. You made your first one.
Getting close to title. You have the title.
You can, definitely, but you probably already have saved it. It's not to pass it to me. This is just the experiment.
Okay, so yeah, delete title. And this should work. Save it.
Okay, I'm going to skip link pages and do that on Thursday. What was it? And it actually paid.
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw that, but I didn't think it was actually
paid to that level.
I think anything in the head does matter.
So I'm going to skip and go down to the one that says headers. Basically, these I want to spend a little more time on. So I'm going to go down to the one that says headers. Okay? So let's click on that one. The one that says HTML5 headers. Okay, the only thing I did here is I added some headers. And I added 6 headers. H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, H6. So I added 6 headers. Okay? If I drag this down and make it smaller, you can see how the headers worked. H1 was a big header, H2 was a little smaller, down to H6, which was very small. Okay, so I can put headers into my pages, and that's how I can add headers. Okay, so that's just one more thing that I can do on my web page. Okay, and the other stuff that I've got on here is the same as I had before. I didn't comment on, or I don't think I did, the fact that this one is not in a paragraph. In some versions of HTML, like XHTML, everything had to be in a tag, or a container, as they called it. So I would have to make that a paragraph. But in HTML5, I don't have to. I can just have a line, and it accepts it. It is probably preferable to put things in a paragraph or a division. Okay? There is a paragraph and there is something called a division, which is DIV. And the difference between them is if you use a paragraph, there will be a blank line between paragraphs. If I have multiple paragraphs, there will be a blank line between paragraphs. If I use div, it will still move down to a new line, but it won't leave a blank line between the divisions. Okay, so that's the difference between a paragraph and a division. So a paragraph makes a blank line after the paragraph. The division does not. Yeah.
Now, the P leaves a line when you close it off at the end?
Yeah.
But you have to close it off at the end in order for it to stand by a line?
No, if you start something else, I think it does too. You're supposed to close it off. If you do as I say, not as I do. If you look at some of my websites, you'll see they're very sloppy. And I didn't close off the stuff that I should have closed off. And it works. The browsers are incredibly forgiving, with an exception that we just found, where she put in title and didn't close title, and it got in a twit and didn't show anything. But most things, it will show its best effort. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one starts to use a little CSS. Okay. Now this is kind of interesting. The page itself, going down here in the body, is exactly what I had before. The page itself hasn't changed. The text that I want to put on it. What I've added is some style. And the way I do that is up here and right below my title. Inside the head, I write the word style. And I say style type equals text / CSS. The style is CSS, and CSS stands for cascading style sheets. Which reminds me. We have a CSS course here at BCC, student learning course or something like that. That material for that course is embedded in this course. So if you are taking this course, you don't have to take that one credit CSS course. Yeah. And I'm just pointing that out for you if you're already in it or whatever. This course, it is embedded in this course. And so you don't have to take that extra course. Okay. So, now that we've talked about that, back to the other form of CSS, which is what I think of when I think of CSS, which is cascading style sheets. CSS is cascading style sheets. So here I'm telling it text CSS, meaning this is regular text, but it's using CSS style to write it. It's using the rules of CSS. So what rules does CSS have? Well, you can pick what you want to have colored. So for example, I said my body. Okay? This is the body thing. For my body, and then I put the stuff that I want my body to have inside these curly braces. And they're curly braces, if you can't see that. And then I wrote background color, and it has to be exactly that. Background color, colon. Actually, you get away with just background. The background color is preferred. Background color, colon, and then I picked beige. So I wrote beige there. And then I put a semicolon. And then on the next line, I wrote color. And the color refers to the font color. So I said color is brown. And so it said, okay, this page has a beige background, and the font should be brown. And it set the page up that way. The body will have a background of beige, and the font will have a color of brown. And then I said, but H1s, I don't want to be brown. I want H1 to be red. And I want it to be aligned in the center, which means I want it to be centered. Okay? So I have to use those words. And we're going to into this to the extent of, I strongly suggest you try some of these with my words. If you want to use additional words, you can go look them up. W3 Schools is a great place for reference information. But when I ask you to experiment with CSS, I'm happy if you experiment with the things that I experiment with for this class, because we're not going in depth into HTML. So now my next one, my H2, I said I want it to be blue and I want it to be aligned over to the right. So there it is. It's blue and it's aligned to the right. And then I said my H3, I want to be green and aligned in the center. So I get to add some style to make my page prettier, basically, using CSS. So then I said H3s will be green. I already did that one. ULs will have a color of red. So you can't really tell probably from back there. But if you look, these things under the unordered list, under the UL, are actually red. So these ULs are actually showing up in red. It would be better if I picked another color because the brown and the red are showing pretty much the same. But they're showing up as red. Okay? Then when I finish the style, like everything else, I close style. And this one, if you leave out, I know will make you crash. So if you leave out the close style, you will get what we fondly refer to as the white screen of death, which means you'll see nothing. Okay, you're done. So you have to put in the closed style. So now go back to your page and add some style. Go back to what you were working on and add some style to it. And again, this is inside the head. Style. You're missing the last two lines right here. The close of the curly brace and the close of the style. See those two? I don't think you have them. Right. So right after that. Yeah. And you also need to then start, close the head and start up the body. These opening and closing things are important because, again, what you're doing with HTML is you are sending information down to the browser. Just a second. You're sending information down to the browser telling it how to set things up on the page. And so it's important that you close everything up. And you say, okay, now I'm done with the style. Okay, so now I am done with the style.
Now I am done with the head. Now I'm starting up the body. And so it's important that you, again, what you're doing is you're giving information to the browser about how to display the page. And so the browser needs, it will be as forgiving as possible, but if you don't close that stuff up, it doesn't work. Yeah.
So for the color, can I use a hexadecimal number or do I have to do that?
You can do it in hexadecimal style. And I just didn't particularly want to get into that. But if you go to W3 schools, it used to be there were only certain colors that were handled. Now they've got cornflower blue and sky blue and everything. Somebody got paid big bucks to come up with a name for every possible hex combination.
Yeah, I typically find that it's better sometimes to hex them. Easier at least.
If you remember them.
Well, they have point that
you can't look them on, but still, now that I can write red, orange, yellow, I'm not as artistic. I'm happy writing red, orange, yellow, green.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's still not showing that. Okay, did you save it with a .html extension? Can you save yours? It's got to have .html. And I'd get rid of all those embedded spaces, too. You will go back to where you saved it. Do another save. That's mine. You know, I've got... You want first, and I get rid of the space and make it first color, .html with no embedded spaces, and then change this to all files just to be very sure that it understands that it's not a text file, and now save it, and now try and open it. So you're going to go to a browser. And the one you're doing is that one right here. Ta-da. Okay. You're welcome. By the way, the worst thing that Microsoft ever did, well, actually, it may not be the worst thing, a lot of bad things, was allow you to have embedded spaces in names. Try to kill that habit, because a lot of programming languages don't allow embedded spaces in names. So when you're writing a name for something, if you must have an embedded space, use an underscore instead of the embedded space. But don't write first space page .html. Write first page .html. You can change it to have first and then have page have a capital so that it looks like a new word and use camel case that way. You can use underscore. You can do a lot of things. But try to kill the idea of embedded spaces, because most programming languages do not allow them. And most things working with computers, if you are going to use embedded spaces, they make you put square brackets around the whole field so they know it's one word. And it's just easier to, it's only one word. Okay. So, my recommendation is not to save anything with an embedded space. Camel case is good. Okay, has everybody got this working? Okay. We're at 12:13, so we are out of time. We will continue with this on Thursday. And if you want to do something tonight or tomorrow, I would experiment with just what you were doing today and play with the stuff and get comfortable with it. People are enthusiastic.